But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. This is Nicole. Join me on this adventure as we go from glory to glory.
So, Ed, we are back for the final part, part three in our series on the Lord's Prayer. And so let me pray so we can quickly jump into this. Almighty God, Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for this beautiful prayer and this beautiful model that you've given us. I ask for grace, your grace to work and flow through us so that we're able to not only pray this prayer, but live this prayer and do this prayer. Because as you've said, faith without works is dead. And I just thank you, Lord, that today all grace will be made available to us to walk out this final piece that you've given us as instructions that you gave through your disciples and to your disciples. Lord, we thank you. We ask for your presence. Holy Spirit, fill us afresh today. And just give us a willing heart to be obedient to your words and your commands. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we are down to the final portion of the prayer. And I'll just go ahead and read it again. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 1 through 4. And it says, "Now it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us how to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.'" So we're going to look at now the final portion, which is verse 4. It says, "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us." Wow. This part of the prayer is conditional. A conditional prayer means that there is something that you have to do in order to receive what God has promised to you. So it is saying that as we forgive everyone who has sinned against us, God will also forgive us. This is hard because there are many, many people that have unforgiveness. You know, it's hard to forgive someone who is constantly done you wrong and probably still continues to do it to this day. But he's saying, if you don't forgive others, then you are also not forgiven. And this is a big deal because we know again that heaven is a pure and holy place. So if we're not forgiving others and we're still carrying our sin, then we actually don't have access to heaven. It just means that we have forfeited our place in heaven by not forgiving others. If you look at the second part in the scripture where this prayer is, which is Matthew chapter 6, and we skip on down to verse 14, it says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So this is a big, big deal. You know, Jesus says, you know, you have to take up your cross and follow me. So there is a part of following Christ that's not easy. And this will be one of them. You know, he said, "Father, forgive them because they know not what they're doing," when they were in the process of killing him. And so he's saying that we too should have the same heart to forgive others. And I want you to see it as something that is made available to us through the grace of God. I see forgiveness as this, especially if it's hard for you. is that you are a hose, a garden hose, that has to get connected to the source, which is the water and God's forgiveness. And by turning on the water of His forgiveness, it flows through you and forgives the person who you want to forgive. So when it's really hard, just picture that. God is forgiving them through you. And all you have to do is make yourself available, be willing to be used as the vessel for the forgiveness. And you know, the truth is sometimes we need to forgive our own selves for something that we may have done wrong or messed up on, right? So sometimes you have to turn that hose right back on yourself to forgive your own self. But it takes a heart that is willing. And just picture that, God forgiving them through you. And being willing to pray that, Lord, I connect myself to you and to your Holy Spirit. And I'm asking right now, I'm saying that I am willing to forgive this person. And I ask you to forgive them through me. Pour forgiveness through me unto them. And I am telling you, if you are willing to do that, God will do it. And the more you do that, is the more the forgiveness just flows. And you can release yourself from that. So that when you pray this prayer in this conditional part, really, there's nothing standing in your way of God hearing your prayers. Because it says in Psalm 66, verse 18 through 20, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Sin separates us from God. It does. He's not hearing you. He's a pure and holy God. So in order for us to have our prayers answered and to have access to Him and to heaven, we have to remove that sin by repentance. There is the initial repentance and acknowledging of sin when you come to know Christ. But as we go along through life and we're walking through life, we pick up dirt on our feet. Hence the message of the washing of the feet of the disciples. You know, when they were like, wash my entire body. And Jesus is like, no, I don't need to wash your entire body. You've already been cleansed when you came to know me. But I still need to wash your feet, because we pick up dirt as we go along. Things happen. The enemy sends people, or situation and circumstances will cause us to go to a place of, you know, sin, or the unforgiveness will come. And so he's saying, you need to forgive others as I'm going to forgive you. And then now the next part of the scripture says, let's go back here. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This is a pretty curious part, right? It says, do not lead us into temptation. So now you're like, temptation, like God is going to lead you into temptation? I want to break this part down for you. So the word in the Greek is perasmos. Perasmos, okay? It says, it actually means temptation or test. Temptation or test. Both senses can apply simultaneously depending on the context. The positive sense is a test. The negative sense is a temptation. Okay? So I want you to see it as this. That word that's used there could either mean test or temptation. Now we know that God does not tempt us, because he has said that in his word. The enemy tempts us, but God brings us tests, and we are tested, and the enemy does tempt us, right? So sin, when it comes, is generally going to come in three forms, all right? It is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or it is the pride of life. Where's that coming from? That's 1 John chapter 2, verse 16, which says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, And the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires passed away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. So whatever is coming at you in terms of sin is going to fall into one of those three categories. It's either the lust of the flesh, is something your physical body wants, whether it's drug or fornication, or you're feeding your flesh. The lust of the eyes, it's something you saw through your eyes and you wanted it, covetousness, or whatever it is you see that you want that's actually not from God. Or the pride of life. This is a prideful attitude that we have that the enemy will use to trip us up at times. So if you think of lead us not into temptation, if we go back to Jesus, when he was led into the wilderness by God, and you read that, it's Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. Luke 4, 1 through 13. So let's go ahead and look at that. This is right before Jesus was going into ministry, right? It says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. So he was led by the Spirit of God. This is a test. And then the devil came and tempted him. So the two things can actually be happening simultaneously, and that's what that root word says, okay? The tests are from God. This is for a positive outcome. The test came because it was time for him to go into ministry, but then he gets tempted by the devil to go in the opposite direction and do bad. And so in these scriptures, you'll be able to easily identify those three things that I just said. So here it goes. It says, this is verse 3. The devil said to him, if you're the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone. So here we see that this is the lust of the flesh, okay? Desires of our physical body, addiction, food. He's saying, you want to eat, don't you? This is food. That's a fleshly thing. Okay, then it says, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you're the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up so you do not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to a test. That's right. So we see there that he says, look at this, the lust of the eyes. He says, I'm going to show you the entire area. Why do I feel like I missed something here? I'm going to show you the entire area and I will give that to you. If you worship me. I did miss a section. I'm so sorry. Verse 5 says, the devil led him up to the high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will be yours. So this is the lust of the eyes. He's showing him, I'm going to give you all this. And Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Okay, so that is the lust of the eyes. And then the last one, which is Luke 4 verse 9. Okay, the devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully, and they will lift you up in their hands so you shall not strike your foot against a stone. Then Jesus answered, it is said, do not put the Lord your God to test. That is the pride of life, okay? Because he's saying, since you are a child of God, you're going to be able to do this easily and you won't get hurt from it, right? Yeah. So we see those three things in how he was tempted. Okay? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are the categories in which the sin will come at you. So when it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, it is saying when those three categories come at us, deliver us from it, God, please. That's what it is saying. So now, let's recap. Now that we've done that last portion, we see that there are three portions to the Lord's Prayer. It's reverencing God, then you're going to ask for what you need today, and you're also to address your sin. When you pray, if you have those components in any prayer that you're going to pray, the Lord will answer your prayer. If you guys do the fast with me at the beginning of the year, every year, if you've done one of those fasts with me, you know, I get the feedback all the time. People say, wow, I've never done a fast like this before, and the answers are just coming really much faster than any other ones that I've been on. That is because our fast is set up using the model of the Lord's Prayer. If you think back of all the days when we're going through the fast, you will notice that we've done all of these things. We've reverenced God, we've asked for what we wanted, and we addressed our sin. And I will tell you, because it happens every year. When we come to the day of the repentance of the sin, there are always going to be those few people that think, oh, I don't need to do this. I did this last year. Why does she keep putting this back in here? This is my fourth year, and she keeps putting back this repentance piece. And they skip it because they think, it's okay, I'm fine. And believe me, by the time they get to day four, and they hit a wall and they're like, I don't understand. Why am I not getting the breakthrough I've gotten in past years? Or it will come up in their dream life, because I interpret dreams in our fasts. It's always, did you do the repentance? And the answer ultimately is no. And the point is, you cannot get around it. This is why it's a model prayer, because God is saying, if you want me to answer your prayers, if you want breakthrough, if you want to see a change in the things that you've been doing, you want something different, you need to reverence God, acknowledge who He is, ask me for what you need today, make sure you're asking for forgiveness of your sins, you are repenting, and you're also forgiving other people who have done you wrong. If you have that, that's the formula of the Lord's Prayer. It's a template that you can use in anything that you're doing. All right, if you haven't signed up for the fast yet, I'm putting the link in the description below so you can sign up to get on there. We're starting the second week of January this year, since the first week, New Year's Day, is actually celebrated on the 2nd of January. Anyway, so that is it. I hope that this has really helped you to see the formula. You know, I know the word says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, enter his courts with praise. And I have before been in situations where I'm with a group and we're praying and we're praising and praising and praising. Actually, I remember one time I was praying with a small group in a building, and we were just praising and worshiping, and I could feel the demonic presence around us, and we weren't getting through. I could feel it. There was this thick heaviness there. And I said to God, by the time we got to the third worship song and we're praising, I'm like, what's going on here? This force is so thick. And the Lord said to me, you have to get into repentance now. There's no other way to break through that thickness, right? So I said to the people we were with, we need to get on our knees right now and start repenting for everything that we know is going on in this building, whatever God brings up. And we got on our knees and we just went into repentance. And the minute we started repenting, it was like that thing cut. The skies open. We had open heaven at that moment. And here we go. And one of the ladies that was with us is a seer. I wasn't really seeing in the realm of the spirit at that time. I discerned the spirit. I discern what's going on, but I couldn't see. She saw it. She told me, she goes, listen, the place was covered in these black crawling demons. They were everywhere, on the ceiling, all over the walls. And she says, the minute you said, let's get into repentance, and we got on our knees, she said, this giant angel just walked through the wall. He extended his wings, and she said, he got down on the floor with us and put his wings over us, completely covering us with his wings. And she goes, and then by the time we finished the repentance and we got up, she said, they were gone, all of them. Okay, I'm just sharing that with you so that you understand. If you're praying and you're just feeling this heaviness, get into repentance. Sometimes it's repentance for you that'll break it through, things that you've done. And other times it's what's going on in the atmosphere around you. It's in that building that the problem is. It's the family that you're with or around, or it's a presence that's in that city or that county or whatever the area is. But that is such a key part, which is why the Lord set it up like this. So I pray that this has helped you. I'm going to start next. We're going into other things on prayer. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next. Maybe Psalm 91 or one of those other prayers. But it's a series on prayer. So I'm just going to start talking about other things related to prayer. But this, the Lord's prayer needed to go first because it's the model. All right, I'm going to pray us out of here. And remember, forgiveness. You need to forgive, okay? Lord, I just thank you for this day. Thank you for the teaching. Thank you for what you've poured out in us in wisdom. Continue to expand this to us each and every day. And just show us the breakthrough that is available for us as your disciples. Grant us the grace we need to forgive others. And Lord, we bless you right now. We bless you. We bless your name. We reverence you as God. You are above all things. And you can break through all things. And we just humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before you. And we thank you for what you have done for us and how you can work through us, man. Such fragile beings that you choose to still work through us in this earth, God. We love you. We adore you. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's it. And I will see you next time. Thanks for joining. Bye.